するぞ。
Okay, so it's the Grim Lord here. I don't have much time. We're gonna go through as much as I possibly can, and that even means going through some 8 scenes fast. At this point, you guys are here for the story, so there's about 2 more Carol 8 scenes and 1 more with Wilma. We're gonna go through those, like, super fast, so you might as well just go look at them on the internet, because, like, I'm only reading the story. I'm only interested in what's gonna happen, because I want to fucking finish this. I paid for it, all right? It's at that point now. I want to know the ending. Allison was heading for the top floor of Slumville, her own powerlessness and disappointment dragging its feet behind her. Her steps were heavy and slow as she followed Tsunaga Shogo. That repulsive evil form Tsunaga had displayed... The repulsive evil form Tsunaga displayed, the sight of Irene being violated and tormented to death before her. And most of all, the sight of him half transformed into those creepy maggots. All of those struck with her overwhelming fear. Even after mustering up courage for a moment, she quickly lost the fear. Even if she managed to be strong, she just couldn't manage to keep it up. Even so, I'm rescuing the others. She repeated that to herself like a spell of resolve. Let's follow after Oni-chan, she debated in her mind several times before finally deciding to do so, at which point... Who's there? A deep, refined voice asked Allison's identity from behind her. When she turned around, she found an unfamiliar face. It was a well-built older man in rough, worn clothing. A child? Meanwhile, the man, Eagle Nobutake, looked at Allison with suspicion in his eyes as he noticed her childishness. Something like that didn't belong in this den of evil. However, once he took another glance at her appearance, he quickly realized the young girl was one of the beings unique to Kanto's Pandemonium, a disastrous witch. I'm Allison. I'm searching for Shogo Oni-chan. Shogo, you say? Shock ran through Ego's face. He never expected to hear that here. To Ego, the name represented a connection to the fate and ties that have stretched on for 7 years. Do you know him, mister? Ego lowered his gaze and smiled as Allison's eyes went wide. Yeah, I came here looking for him too. I may be late, but I'm here to help him clean up. After witnessing the sights he passed on his way up, Ego knew this huge building was facing an abnormal situation. He also knew that none other than Tsunaga lay at the center of it all. The instinctive recognition was all because he knew of Tsunaga Shogo's potential for extraordinary violence. There were chilling, bloody traces of calamity left behind where he had broken through. So long as those continued onward, Tsunaga still had to be alive regardless of what shape he was in. Little girl, Allison was it, would you like to go with me? Ego asked her that partly because he saw Allison as someone to protect, not an aid in combat. Allison's expression brightened for a moment at his invitation, then for some reason her confidence waned as she nodded. What's wrong? I wanted to become a star. Was she reassured by Ego's bearing? Allison weakly revealed her vulnerable heart. A star? Cool and pretty, never breaking. I wanted to be like that. But I couldn't. Even if I could try hard for a moment, I quickly reverted to being a coward. Chagrin filled her amethyst eyes and spilled out as droplets. Ego heaved a troubled sigh before her. A star, huh? Well, it's no wonder you couldn't become one of those. Huh? By star, you mean those lights shining up in the sky, right? You could never reach them from down here, so there's no way you could ever become one. But that's... Ego started speaking bluntly with a very serious tone. Allison was left bewildered as she listened. Listen, Allison, humans aren't cool and pretty all the time. Plus, they break down at times, too. But Ego continued without caring about that. The only ones who can act strong and pretty all the time are the characters and stories. That's because they only need to hold out to their end mark, the end of their story. Of course they can do that. That's a very good quote, by the way. But we're different. It's impossible to be like that all the time until we die. And we're not built to do so in the first place. It might be ugly, but we still eat food, get dirty, and take shits. Facts. Humans aren't characters. You can't separate either side of the coin from within us, so it's perfectly natural for us to be brave as well as cowardly at times. That'll change depending on environment and circumstances. You can't decide this guy's this kind of person, because there's no hard truth like that. The only thing that exists is he did this or he didn't do this. Just results. I like that. He drew his face closer to hers as he spoke and placed his palm on her little head. If you can push yourself even once or... Even for a single moment, then you've done well. Did you do it, or didn't you? In the end, that's all that's important. Who cares about being the ideal person? Right, Allison? Yeah. Igo couldn't tell how much of what he said. Igo couldn't tell how much of what he said Allison truly understood. Still, she nodded back with much more spirit than before. Good, let's go then. We're gonna save Shogo. That's the only thing we need to do right now. The two odd companions then began walking off together. The gears of fate built into the Den of Thieves swallowed up a new destiny and continued to spin in even more complex ways. All the while, the Last Soul Witch watched over everything. The Inquisitor Valentinos never once doubted the almighty nature of the god he served. His doctrine held the ideal of love for all humanity, but none of that actually existed within reality. Still, he accepted the huge contradiction as God's will. He wasn't ignoring that contradiction, he was facing that gap between reality and the ideal and executing a doctrine of violence to bury it. Whenever someone objected to or criticized that contradiction, he silenced them with the force of his fists. He believed that doing so was the true essence of his sublime and barbaric creed, which made saints out of those who were violently executed. History had proven that to him, and even the dark history of Valentinos' religion itself was built on the corpses of sacrifices. One could even say that was precisely the reason his ebony fists were imbued with God's sacrament. Only those believers who accepted that savage blood and violence were the true identity of the world's driving force, could take it. This meant the power Valentinos wielded was a holy weapon of its absolute scripture, meant to destroy the contradiction in their doctrine. That was why he had no reason to share any sympathy with his enemies. He even jested that that was how zealots ought to behave. However, even after obliterating Shimon, an enemy of God, Valentinos still lingered in the Den of Thieves. His mission was to retrieve the secret relic, Judas's Gospel, and return it to the Vatican. He was supposed to be making haste, but his huge body was wandering Slumville in a dark suit, searching for something. There's more! His instincts as God's chained beast warned him of another enemy. Some evil force that needed to be eliminated by his fists were still alive and well, which is why Valentinos grinned with ferocious joy when he found that. He bared his white fangs like a lion standing before the figure appearing out of the darkness. Grotesque being, has your flesh and soul already become like an inhuman monster's? The being that stopped before his huge towering frame was the man once known as Tsunaga Shogo. However, the man himself was no longer had remembered his name. You must have been human in the past, but you've already cast off that shell. You have turned your back on Providence and used dark arts to surrender yourself and become one of its minions, haven't you? His huge hands cracked as they formed fists. Then you are an enemy of God, and therefore my enemy, Valentinos proclaimed with heartfelt joy. Just as he explained to Shimon earlier, he took great enjoyment in unleashing the violence sanctioned by God. God's beast was anxiously awaiting the moment to release the collar he placed around himself. Am I human or something else? I don't know anymore. I don't know even how one distinguishes between the two. A painful voice grating with urgency escaped from the throat of the agonized man with a dark gaze. However, I do have an objective. Objective? There's a woman waiting for me. Only one certainty remained in his violated brain. She's practically a shining goddess in that fading world of man who'd forgotten his own name. I need to reach her, no matter what the cost. The man's eyes filled with hostility and the urge to fight for the first time. His muscles swelled and increased blood flow, and the adrenaline secreted by his adrenal cortex filled every corner of his limbs. Even if it means I lose myself the next moment. I will! I've sworn to do it! The man formerly known as Tsunaga Shogo was ready to risk his own crumbling existence as he unleashed a mad howl. Simultaneously, his feet kicked off the floor and launched himself towards the huge man before him. His feet numbered more than two, dozens of tentacles springing from below his knee aided his acceleration. His instantaneous velocity easily exceeded the sprinting speed of all predators on Earth. He moved literally in human speed, charging into close quarters with Valentinos. Then the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. The ebony inquisitor stood firm. He only recited a verse of holy scripture from the revelations of St. John, chapter 9. And And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. His holy writing appeared on his fists, and together with it the space around the giant man grew dark and warped. At the same time the buzz of infinite wings deafened their ears. Thousands of swarming insects appeared from the warped ebon space, chattering their tiny jaws within the maelstrom. They formed a ravenous cloud ready to devour all. Born from the scripture depicting the devil of locusts, an unprecedented calamity that would reduce the earth to a wasteland. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. He swung his huge fist, launching it like an arrow guaranteed to strike down an attacking beast. Well, no, you love that, don't you? This dude really needs to be ripped into something else. Like, there's so many Christian anime fans that would love a character like this. And it's weird that it appears in this crazy hentai game. Like, one of the only characters that literally spouts Bible verses. And he's a big, powerful guy. Do you know how popular that would be? That would be insanely popular. Because there's a lot of religious anime fans out there that want this kind of character. Like, I'm serious, there would be, the All Hallelujah thing would become a fucking meme. Like, it would be a thing, there would literally be people doing that, like they do with the Dragon Ball Z power-up thing. There'd be so many religious people that would love a character like this. So, it's really shitty that they put it in this game, and they didn't have like a full anime series with a character like this. Because I've yet to see any anime where you have this full-on, like, god warrior-type character. I know Japan is very Shinto, but they managed to get this right as far as Christianity. I'm not religious myself, but I was raised religious for 16 years, so I know that, you know, that sort of thing would probably be more accepted among... I mean, it would just be like, wow, look at this guy. He says, die like the vermin you are, and then of course, hallelujah. He struck with his full might and spirit, his iron fist like an arrow unleashed. The dark haze surrounding it, the swarm of thousands of locusts flew forth at the man. I kind of want him to kill Shogo. I know that sounds crazy, but Shogo's literally like, he just destroyed... Sandy, like, completely destroyed Sandy and Irene. I mean, it's not even Sandy, I know you like muscle chicks, Grim. No, it's not that. It's Sandy and Irene, he, like, just literally fucking killed them, and he's losing his mind, and the tentacles and all the lust is just overbearing him. So, I mean, it would suck if he actually beats Valentinos, but I know a lot of you guys want to see the fight. However, I think the fight's kind of unfair, because Valentinos, I mean, obviously, we're not getting Shogo, we're getting Tentacle Shogo. We're not getting the, BJJ, he does Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. We're not getting that Shogo for this fight. I really think they lost the fucking boat when they got later on to this script, because... Yeah, people wanted to see these battles. And it's like, what do you want more? 8 scenes or battles? And honestly, I want battles. Like, I know this isn't a shonen, but it takes so fucking much from shonen that it's pathetic. And it's like, hey, I want to see the fight! The monster that used to be Tsunade Shogo took the blow head on. The ravenous tempest swallowed him up entirely. The gluttonous locusts have swarmed... Oh wow, swarmed his exposed face, neck, and hands, quickly gnawing away his flesh and exposing bone. He fought against it with the irrational regeneration of maggot cells, but the sheer mass was overwhelming. In a moment, every contour of his figure was covered and obscured by the swarming locusts. The only fate remaining to him was becoming a cruel and immaculate corpse of freshly picked bones. At least he was supposed to, but his human figure remained strong and covered in black. Not only that, the swarms of locusts were rapidly fading away, almost as if something was swallowing them up. Yes, that thing was actually devouring the ravenous swarms. Countless tiny human mouths opened all across that man's body and crunched away at the swarming locusts at a ferocious pace. See, look at that. Dude summoned actual fucking locusts. That would have been badass to see. The work of God was struck down with an all-too-bizarre method, and after witnessing that, Valentino's face twisted into an unnatural asymmetrical shape. How... How repulsive. Oh, how repulsive, you demon. His expression was overwhelming, not overflowing, not with rage, but joy. Just imagine watching this. The expressions of the face. You just can't see them here. Yes, how dare you show yourself like that before me. Oh, how you've granted me the joy of breaking you down and crushing you myself. He let out a loud laugh of joy, as fierce as a lion's howl. Oh, you lovely monster, I can't help but embrace you in these arms. His violent, chaotic emotions caused his muscles to throb as he longed for destruction through direct contact. He clenched his fists as tight as granite and chanted out the holy scripture of Judges, chapter 15. His own body then manifested the power of Samson that destroyed and slaughtered 1,000 men. Those who doubt my God always say the same things. If God is truly omnipotent, then why does God allow his enemy, the devil, to exist? Or why does humanity never cease its wars with itself on both sides? Valentino's huge stature was imposing as a heavy tank as he strode forward, all the while weaving words full of joy. Those fools, how can they not realize that is God's true mercy, that he deliberately left us with the concept of an adversary so we might live strong? His howl rang out loud and clear as he raised his heavy white fist. Wow, what would happen if we lacked an adversary? Isn't it obvious? Violence is so embedded in our nature that we killed Christ our Savior, so we would turn that on our very own fellow man, our neighbors, comrades, family, and friends. The iron fist that slaughtered witches, protected by the repulsion fields, exploded forth. It hammered into the torso of the former Sunaga and punched right through his back. His innards poked out of the wound, and blood from his lungs ripped it from his throat as he coughed. However, the ruptured flesh and blasted bones were rapidly being sealed by countless maggots crawling within his body. It was a display of indomitable and unholy vitality. There was even more. The tendrils of his blasted guts wrapped around the arm, piercing his torso and clenched down with the pressure of a vice. Still, even with their inhuman might, it was impossible to chain down God's wild beast. You, Amy, 我らは人間ならざる心通う That is why we humans need an absolute adversary we do not relate to. Heretics, aliens, other races, and... Valentinos ignored the tentacle's pressure and yanked his arm out of the side of his enemy's body. The torso of the monster once known as Tsunaga was rent diagonally upwards with a wet snap. To me, that adversary is you! He finished his ruthless draw with that shout. His iron arm shattered bones as flesh as he sprung free through that thing's shoulder, nearly severing its upper body in half. Huge fountains of crimson blood sprayed forth, filled with the color of life. Even after that, the monster wearing Tsunaga's face still stood strong. It clenched the iron fist that had destroyed the Witch Sandy and slammed it into the huge frame before him. It's futile! Valentinos deflected it with the right fist he raised vertically in defense. The black, steadfast castle of a man looked down upon the gruesome monster with arrogance. The nameless monster no longer understood what it was, but it still gathered its five fingers together and struck out. The blow that buried the witch, Irene, flew forth toward Valentinos' throat with precision, but... It's futile! That, too, was halted by Valentinos' horizontally held left fist. The successive blows thrown by the monster that was Tsunaga were all struck down by the Holy Cross of Valentinos' guard. My sublime violence is celebrated by God, so know that no spear nor shield can stand before it. He then turned the iron wall of his cross towards the fence. Another holy verse sprung from his lips as he loaded his destructive power into Black Fist, into his Black Fist. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, they shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured full into the cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. His twin fist shot forth, imbued with a yellow phosphorus blaze of brimstone. The moment the blow slammed into the beast before him, the flames enveloped it. Flames that could never be quenched until the end of the world charred away at the monster, cell by cell. Even the maggot's regenerative powers couldn't keep pace with the rapidly spreading blaze. The huge form that used to be Tsunaga had become a writhing firebrand. Valentinos noticed a slight irregularity, though. He gazed in amazement as the force of the flames weakened, flames that should never fade until they burnt away the entire beast's body. Did his eyes deceive him? It looked like the flames were steadily vanishing into the five-fingered hands of an abnormal figure, tiny hands just like those of a child. What are my eyes? It was no delusion. It was the soul of a young child, a brown-skinned pagan child, hanging around the monster like it was protecting Tsunaga. How dare you! You would obstruct my judgment, you evil pagan spirit! He raised his fist with disregard for our innocent eyes. After imbuing it with fresh divine might, he went to deliver his next blow when... Impossible! This time, Valentino's entire body froze in shock. A new afterimage of a woman floated in the direct path of his iron fist. The black habit of a Catholic nun and the cross shining in her chest dealt a powerful blow to Valentino's spirit. The dead nun was also protecting the monster, just like the young girl. Her transparent eyes told him she would not allow the destruction of that grotesque evil. The light of true faith within her blue eyes was all the more reason Valentinos couldn't avoid being shocked. Why? Why does a soul in service to the Lord protect this man? Yes, that was as impossible for Valentinos to grasp as if heaven and earth had been inverted. It was clear that the nun's soul, a fellow servant of God, was protecting the monster known as Tsunaga. The mystery was the first to shake Valentinos' spirit. It was the first time the adversary standing in his way bore that holy crest. He had no idea how to behave before it. A heretic? A Catholic turned heretic? In that case, face judgment alongside him. Valentino's groaned as he shed bitterly cold sweat. However, his words weren't filled with his usual conviction. As a fellow believer, he instinctually understood that there wasn't a shard or of shadow in the dead nun's faith. Valentino's anguished under that nightmarish juxtaposition of the adversary he ought to destroy, and the Holy Cross of Faith standing in his way. It was the first absurd non-absolute to appear in the Steel Inquisitor's world. When he hesitated, the grotesque being was reviving itself. The impure and indomitable vitality of the maggots was standing before Valentino's once more. What issued from his throat was undeniably a groan of fear. In that moment, Valentinos was not a disciple of God, but a lone man afraid of the monster before him. The absoluteness of the faith supporting his invincibility had wavered. No, I won't accept it! Valentinos burned with blind rage at that truth. He clenched his fists as his own body charged with a holy verse upon his lips. I'll never accept it! God's beast had ripped away his chains and surrendered himself to pure conflict for the first time. If someone bearing the Holy Cross would stand in his way, he would charge to crush them as well. He crossed the distance between them. God is with me! Oh, hallelujah! He unleashed a powerful blow with his bellowing roar. So, too, did the grotesque being before him. Two fists of extreme good and evil rushed straight at each other like destiny. Both blows held hostile intent and destructive power bent on exterminating the archenemy before them, but one of the two clashing was brittle and shattered, its bones pulverized to liquid and scattered violently with its flesh. Valentino's gasped in a deep breath, staring in astonishment at the sight before his eyes. Vexation at his own defeat filled his wide-open gaze more than agony from his shattered flesh. Valentino's fist wasn't the only thing shattered by that grotesque iron hammer. His very faith itself lay broken. All of his selfless devotion to God was broken here by that blasphemous dark art. He had already justified himself by crushing adversaries in God's name, but his fist had already lost the supernatural sacrament that came from his unyielding faith in that cause. All by the contradiction of striking the very cross he served. Valentino's intelligence and vow of lifelong celibacy would not allow him to ignore that distortion. After losing his limbs, his ideals to protect, the Inquisitor Valentinos could not become a maggot, seeing his goals through. Though he lost as a human. As he vainly looked down at the remaining flesh of his fists, now devoid of God, he spoke. Yeah. The cursed words of resentment were muttered in agony by the saint on the cross. With those final words, his black-clothed, half-blasted body sank into a sea of blood. The manufactured witches were cruelly hunted down and abused. Yet were they noble sacrifices offered up to a grand ideal? Or were they simply vulgar toys consumed in a buffoon's folly? The answer to that still lay within darkness, unknown to all. However... Okay, so here we go. It's two of them. We're just gonna... Yeah... Impregnate at the same time. Before I came here, I thought I was basically gonna be doing the same thing as a male porn star. Difference between those expectations and this was rough. You find your motivation while begrudgingly doing the work. Humans are strange creatures like that. Take you out to that Russian pub. Yeah, they had maggots. Alright, work's all done for today. Shall we go drinking? Still haven't gotten used to what happens next. The halfway state is worse than the maggots themselves. The fact that they only look partially human is bad. The young staff member paled as he watched over them. Before his eyes, the huge maggots were growing limbs and fingers to look just like a human child. Next moment, their torsos shrank and their heads expanded, eyes and noses forming in place. In just a few minutes, they looked like human babies, plus their faces. Holy shit! Oh, they both resemble their mothers. I'm not laughing at that joke anymore, though I chuckled a bit just now. These women are birthing their clones, so of course they would. The men exchanged congenial smiles. Just as they said, their appearance of the newborn babies was exactly the same as their birth mothers, Wilma and Gloria. The next generation would mature rapidly, and they'd soon take on the exact same appearance and personality of their mothers. All as part of the cogs and the dark arts woven by the world's last witch. Okay, so that's how all that goes down, folks. Carol was now the only remaining witch that was captured at the same time. She had been fucked and filled with fluids by the maggots as well, but her body still showed no signs of pregnancy. Unlike the other two, Carol alone had continued to hold on to her mind. If that was affecting the process, then it was important to break her mind first. Carol's undefeated spirit had drawn the attention of many staff involved with the witch hunters. Her pretty figure and strong will couldn't help but entice the uniquely male desire to conquer and subjugate her. Also, thanks to the chaos that broke out within Slumville last night, no one had received new orders from their boss Shimon or the witch Sandy. That atmosphere urged independent action. All those with lust and interest volunteered to torment Carol directly. They wondered if the well-planned, spiteful, atrocious torment only humans could inflict would work better than a maggot's powerful, single-minded rape. With no new orders coming down from above, there was nothing to stop the men's evil independence. And so, the sound of chafing metal rose from the frame erected against the wall. It was the sound of the person bound there jerking. The one being held captive was a young girl with abnormal animal ears growing from her head, skin as pale as clouds. All of her limbs were restrained in shackles, her hands spread far apart to the side, and her legs pinned apart with her crotch spread wide. Carol's head sagged, body weak, and hanging where it was secured. As a witch, Carol possessed power far beyond that of a human, but the countless assaults had worn her down. Oh, this one? She's pretty cute, isn't she? Several men appeared before Carol. Oh, this one's cream-pied a lot, hasn't she? Her belly's not sticking out at all, though. Heard she still isn't pregnant. Well, that's unusual. What's wrong with that? Means we got to play with her that much longer. Carol glanced up in response to the man's cruel conversation. Her eyes were focused directly on them. Let's look at, see where we're at. 94. Exhausted as she wasn't dead. Oh, looks like she's still good to go. I like women like this. What's wrong with you? You into little girls? Does she look like one to you? I just like girls on the verge of becoming real mature women. Ones like her really get me going. Makes me want to fuck her. Carol bit her lip, realizing these men were going to have their way with her this time. We came to have fun, not fuck, right? Let's get this started, okay? The men grinned and started making their preparation. Carol noticed the line drawn on her feet when she saw a man taking position short distance away. He brought a crossbow to bear. His target, of course, was her. Okay, so they're torturing. It's a torture scene. Okay, it was a piercing bolt. So if you nail a leg, that's 10 points. One with the lowest score gets put on trash duty next. What the men called trash duty was cleaning up the corpses they left behind. That's 10 points for you then. Idiot, that was just a test shot to explain the rules. Does it really matter? Change out. I want to go too. He handed the crossbow to the next man, changing shooters. The men were playing a game with Carol's body as their target. Hey, is it alright for us to do something like this to a witch? Won't we be in deep shit later? What, are you getting scared? That's why we're playing around now and weakening her. The arrow he aimed while chatting pierced the muscles of her pale arm. Carol's brain was immediately struck with immense pain of her muscles ripping. The arrow wound was incredibly hot. Her pulse was pounding like she had another heart there. Blood oozed down the shaft of the arrow, penetrating her. Carol's whole body was breaking to cold sweat. Even though she was facing incredible pain, a normal young woman's breathing heavier, determined not to voice her suffering. Hey, that witch is still standing, ready to go. She'll kill us first if she recovers her magic power. You're a worrywart, man. Even if she recovers her power from our cream pies, she just need to make her burn it all and regenerating her body. By wounding her like this, gahaha. The arrow fired from the crossbow landed in Carol's stomach that time. The arrow pierced her skin of subcutaneous fat, reaching all the way to her organs. As long as you make her bleed like that, she'll only be able to repair her body, even when her power does return. I see. Haha, in that case, let's cut loose. Frightened men took up weapon and joyfully pulled the trigger. Oh, I hit her tits. Okay. Just barely stopping. Okay, made it even harder to breathe. I mean, is there really any point to this? She wants to continue to reunite with Shogo. I aim for the other tit, but I hit her cleavage instead. She's giving the arrow a tit job, which is kind of hot. Okay. Don't hit the face, that's a boner kill. Anyone hits her face, they've lost. No buts. Okay. Magic power depleted. She endured. She wanted to see Shogo. I like this woman. Her body's awfully broken, but her body hasn't come close. She's planning to endure every shot we fire. Seriously, then we shoot her to our heart's content. Okay, clean hit to the navel. You're ruining the game. She's like a real Iron Lady. I just thought this was another game. So they've just shot her with dart arrows everywhere. Ow, they're putting fluid. Liquid stickily clung to her skin. Oh. Oh. Oh, shit. They're melting. Oh, man. Acid. Made from a maggot's digestive fluids. It melts wounds, but thankfully enough, there's powerful aphrodisiacs in it too, because of course there is. This scene is just a waste of fucking time. Of course he's gonna fuck her. I mean, look at this. This is ridiculous. It's just too much goddamn text for an H scene. Like, literally, I wanna fucking meet the writer and say, dude, fucking slow down. You don't need to go in that much fucking detail. Go all the way to Jeopardy's guy and say, why? You made a novel about a sex scene. It doesn't need a fucking novel. It doesn't need to be a fucking novel. No, I don't appreciate it. Igo Nobutake reached the 38th floor after climbing the stairs on foot together with the witch Allison. He discovered an elevator leading directly to the 40th floor above them, but he avoided using it. It had been neglected for so many years, there was no telling if it still functioned or not. He ran to avoid risking accidents. His goal lay at the highest point, the 50th floor. By the way, where are we? 95, thank fucking God. If he wanted to check... It's just... Yeah. That was worth Sunuga's show. If he wanted to catch up to Sunuga's lead, then he'd have to move quickly. That fundamentally meant he couldn't afford to loiter any more than necessary on the floors they passed through. Antagonizing the inner residents would only cause interference, and there was no way to know what other dangers may fall their way. Despite that, Ego passed his advance on one of the interim floors due to the wholly abnormal thing he discovered there. It was a human corpse. That on its own wasn't that unusual. Even if it was the corpse of a huge black man nearly 2 meters tall, what was abnormal was the destruction of his body. This is an awful-looking stiff. Half the body was completely blasted away. Its innards were spilling out from the gaps between its blasted ribs, and flies were already gathering. That wasn't a gunshot wound. If you had to guess, it looked more like it was blasted away in an explosion. But there wasn't a single trace of burns, chars, or heat damage on the wound. It was like it had been rent and shattered purely by powerful force. When Ego drew closer, he realized the corpse was still alive. It was on the verge of death, but it still breathed. Sensing the presence of another person, the ebony eyelids opened slightly. Wilt thou journey beyond this point? If so, then what do you seek? The strange and abstract words spilling from his lips didn't seem meant for someone he just met for the first time. Ego was slightly taken aback by his almost philosophical question. I'm seeking a certain man. There's a reason that I have to help him, no matter the cause. The dying man, Valentinos' eyes shone with recollection. No matter the price you pay, huh? Valentinos muttered as if reciting the words of someone else. Yeah, that's right. Ego nodded without hesitation. If I had a son, I would have raised him to be like that. I would gladly die at any time if it was for his sake. That's our bond. The dying Inquisitor heaved a heavy sigh. Ego sensed the same bitterness within that man, like there was some deep regret within his sigh. Hey, bud, there's something you've left unfinished, isn't there? Sorry, but I'm in a hurry myself. There's nothing I can do for you, but I can listen to your final words. A sound like deep thunder answered his statement. The laugh escaping Valentinos' throat had a self-derisive ring to it. No, there's nothing. I could never choose another path in this life of mine, so the end would be just the same. I see, no matter the price you pay, huh? His decaying body had summoned up the last of its strength. Nothing was left there but a corpse, yet it still moved slightly. As it shifted, something small fell from his pocket with a hard sound. Ego could tell at a glance it was a 9mm bullet. He instantly picked it up off the floor. So thou doth dread the same path as that monster. Monster? The man never answered Ego's curious question, but Allison crouched down beside him. He's dead! What a big man! The huge black cloth man had finally breathed his last. Okay, we're done with that scene. 96! Ego left Valentinos' corpse behind and headed for the higher floors of Allison. When they reached the 41st floor, Ego sensed something strange in the air, though it wasn't something that brought him danger. It felt like a mass gathering of people, the clamor of some kind of entertainment. The signs of battle that he saw on the lower floors were completely absent here. There was a calm that was completely different from the mood that filled Slumville and a sense of order unique to the controlled degeneracy, too. Ego peered into the large event space monopolizing most of the 41st floor from behind cover. What is this? An event was being hosted on a dim floor with well-dressed patrons. There was a casino space as well as a bar lounge. There were even what appeared to be private VIP rooms with whores. He also spotted people here and there openly snorting cocaine. Debauchery. That was the only word that fit this space of festering corruption. However, Ego's nose was quick to catch the scent of that amongst the smell of cigarettes, perfume, and marijuana. What's wrong, mister? I smell blood. It's been shed many times as well. The ceiling, floor, pillars, and walls, all of them appeared pretty and polished, but the smell of blood permeated that space like unseen sediment. It was too caked into the space to ever fully be cleansed like a slaughterhouse. There was no mistaking that this floor had seen acrid bloodshed several dozens of times. The reason for that smell was soon about to be discovered. Once the space went dark, spotlights were centered on the stage. At the same time, disorderly and chaotic clamor came to a stop. Then, as if languidly waking from its slumber, it was filled with cheers and applause. What is this? What on earth is about to happen here? This would be the first time Ego Nobutaki witnessed it, the darkest sight hidden within this vile city, its most hideous heart. Now then, we'd like to get started with tonight's main event. Spotlights illuminated the stage constructed within the hall. Naked woman was strung up, glistening under the harsh lighting. The excitement of the crowd quickly rose, mad screams emanating from the audience. The woman had a large build with well-developed muscles spread evenly across her figure. Top of that, her ample breasts and wasp-like waist gave off the charm of a mature woman, but horns like those of a buffalo grew from her head. This woman is Gloria, one of the witches boasting superhuman strength that are only found here in Pandemonium. The passage introduced that witch, Gloria, rang out over the mic. Her body was no longer useful now she'd given birth to a replacement, so they were putting it to use here while disposing of her. Gloria narrowed her eyes under the blinding light and gazed out at the audience with an anxious look on her face. Nobody in the crowd seemed like a proper normal person. Each and every one of them had desire blazing within their eyes. Tonight we'd like to call everyone here and to once again witness the immortality of witches. We're calling this Gloria's Heaven and Hell Resurrection Show. Loud cheers filled their area once more. It's my first time seeing a witch. They're such strong looking women. There are all kinds of witches. This woman's especially burly looking. Hearing strong women cry out in suffering is wonderful, is it not? My, my, what exquisite taste you have. An air of bizarre sadism was filling the room and everyone was counting on Gloria to provide a vent for it. Faced with that mob, Gloria could only cry in terror. Stop it, no more pain, please! Gloria was like a frightened little girl, body shuddering as she awaited her fate. Her muscles and fighting spirit would never rise up again. Sandy had already broken her mind and shaved her strong spirit away with thorough rape and abuse. More importantly than that, Gloria had discovered a source of fear. Beneath where Gloria hung rested a large, cruel machine that coldly reflected the light off of it. It was a set of steel rollers! They looked similar to the ones used by heavy machinery to flatten pavement. They rested right beside her, like a hungry alligator opening its jaw wide as it waited for prey to fall inside. No, stop, I'll do anything, so please let me go! Gloria pleaded with tears in her eyes. She looked like nothing more than an exhausted woman that had run out of hope. We thank you for your patience. Now we'd now like to begin our Witch Resurrection Show, brought to you by the powerful Witch Gloria. Once the crowd's anticipation had peaked, the announcer proclaimed the start of the event. Everyone in the fully packed crowd applauded with excitement in their eyes. Stop it, please! Gloria's cry was drowned out by the loud motor rumbling beneath her feet. The enormous mobile rollers began to spin as they traveled upwards. Gloria screamed, but the huge machine wasn't stopping. It continued upward, and when it reached Gloria's toes... Oof! Oof! Gloria wailed, unable to make sense of what was happening. Her cry was like an unbearable death rattle. The gigantic rollers had reached Gloria's feet. Massive machines spun upward, slowly using their force to crush her between them, starting from her toes. Her bones cracked audibly. Her fat was crushed, and her muscles were severed. Blood trailed down. God, dude, you really go into detail, right? Blood trailed down from her toes, destroyed by the powerful pressure. Oh, wow, now. They're taking their time crushing her body. What excellent taste. A young woman's body truly does make pleasant sounds. Her screams are wonderful as well. Let us hear more. Crowd displayed a bizarre elation as they watched the bloodshed. This was a gathering of abnormal fetishists who loved watching the blood she spewed. They wanted to hear her screams of agony alongside the sounds of her body being destroyed. This whole debauched space was full of such people. Stop it. Of course she says stop it. Gloria was already hoarse from wailing. However, the compressors wouldn't stop, Coley rolling up Gloria's body by force. Her kneecaps were already shattered and the rollers were already reaching up to her thighs. Bones jutted out of the ruptured skin in her legs, but there was a bizarre swelling of her flesh from there on up. With nowhere left to go, pressure was forcing her flesh further and further up. Her thighs were bulging out to twice their size like sausages packed full of ground meat. This is awful. It's like they're making meatballs. The best part is up next. Once that reaches her torso, her swollen thighs were finally compacted down. The muscles were then snapped and tore, getting squeezed upward into stomach cavity. Her belly instantly bulged out like she was pregnant, but the only thing packed inside her was her own flesh and blood mixed up in the rollers. Every one of her nerves was on fire with violent agony, leaving Gloria with a tremendous urge to vomit. The further the rollers went, the more her bones snapped like twigs, and the cruel sound of her crushed flesh echoed within her body. Sounds of the gruesome, unbearable agony destroyed Gloria's mind with its white-hot heat. Her body was trying to cut off her consciousness, knowing she couldn't maintain her sense of self at this rate. So the sound of fresh destruction rang out and woke her back up to intense suffering. By the time she could barely form words, her pelvis was already shattered, her genitals were already crushed to a mass of meat. Finally, the huge rollers capable of compressing a human being started to work on Gloria's swollen stomach. Oof! The massive rollers compressed the minced meat and organs packed in her stomach, shattering and crushing them. Bloody mess erupted from Gloria's mouth. It wasn't just blood, though. Bits of her crushed abdomen's minced meat and fragments of her organs were mixed in, too. Her backbone snapped with an audible sound. Her womb was compressed until it was gone. Her stomach and parts of her liver were flattened and sucked down between the rollers. Gloria suddenly stopped responding at all as she convulsed. Her nerves were burned out from external shock, temporarily ending her life. As an organism, Gloria was dead for a few short minutes before it took her circulating blood to reconstruct the bypasses of life. Even Gloria, with her supernatural strength, has died here for us. Strength, rather. Brave Gloria, how deplorable that you have died. However, everyone, now the show is truly beginning. His powerful, rousing mic work caused cruel anticipation and fervor to build within the crowd. That's right, everyone. This event will demonstrate the witch's immortality. Please enjoy the sight of Gloria's resurrection, only to suffer once more. Almost as if on cue from the announcer, Gloria finished her revival. The cursed fate of witches returned her to a cruel life packed with suffering. Gloria writhed as she choked and coughed up on huge, huge flakes of blood. Everyone, this is a witch's immortality. These monstrous women possess a special trait that allows them to come back to life even after losing their organs. Crowd cheered and erupted in a grand applause. How far could it go? How well could it captivate them? Their vulgar, heartless anticipation was finally growing into madness. Please rest assured, the rollers will continue to rise up. Now, how many times will the witch Gloria die for us tonight? Sound of her shattering bones and crushing flesh continued on. Just as the announcer proclaimed, the huge rollers climbed up further into Gloria's torso. They crushed her bloated belly, and finally, steel murder machine reached her missile-shaped breasts. Steel rollers had just crossed her stomach and liver. Her lungs and diaphragm were squeezed between them as well. Several of her ribs were crushed all at once, and even her heart was soon consumed. Gloria couldn't even scream anymore. She could only mechanically leak air from her lungs. Her mouth was spewing up flesh and bits of her organs as she frothed blood while expelling the air from her lungs. She couldn't breathe with her lungs crushed either. Is she suffocating this time? Truly an abundance of variations. I imagine she must be in quite some pain. My, how exciting, how exciting. The audience clapped with joy as Gloria suffocated. They were never going to empathize with her agony or despair. At the end of the day, this was just consumable entertainment they paid for. Some even bore raging excitement in their loins, so the appalling show went on. Gloria's ample breasts were crushed and flattened, her very heart turned into mincemeat. Even while dead, the body was violated. Once she revived, she died again. It was a gruesome display, but yet, precisely because of that, the crowd was extremely excited. I suppose even a witch can't revive without her heart? Blood trailed from Gloria's nose, ears, and eyes. So long as her neck was still attached, the immortal witch's living blood continued to circulate. At long last, we're left with just her neck up. Everyone, we're about to demonstrate the greatest display of tonight's show. I'd like you all to have a look at the miraculous resurrection of this immortal witch. The crowd began to stir loudly after the announcer's call. Meanwhile, the huge machine finally stopped. The rollers then quickly began spinning in the opposite direction. They were now steadily descending. Wow. Even though she was crushed to a bloody mass from the neck down, Gloria started breathing again. Her consciousness had yet to return, so only her brow shuddered slightly. By that point, the compressor had fallen at its lower point, spinning out Gloria's crushed body. Now, what's this? Everyone look carefully. Gloria's body is flattened like you see in a panel of a gag comic. What an antique taste. This is funny, hilarious. The crowd erupted into laughter. Just as the announcer pointed out, Gloria's flesh, bones, and organs were flattened from the neck down into a thin sheet of skin. There was no sign of her former body. Her figure was a surreal source of humor. However, the scattered blood and flesh was as real as it was appalling. Amazing, she's like a paper cutout. Ha, I bet it'd be fun to pump her full of air and inflate her. Her mind was still hazy, but Gloria reacted like she'd heard the audience's analogy. The guests watching poor Gloria's figure raised their voices in excitement when they saw her react. The blood coughed off organs and bits of Gloria's flesh lay scattered along the floor or on the huge rollers. Even if her senses were working, the foul odor would have made her feel ill. Even that rank smell was a part of the brutal excitement of this place. Now then, please watch the monstrous resurrection that makes these witches witches! A drum roll began playing when the announcer finished. Then, sticky fluid shot out from the nozzle of her hose, of a hose that had been built in beforehand. Several liters of the liquid splattered all over Gloria's skin. The milk-colored fluid gave off a rich smell similar to chestnut flowers. Creatures known as witches drew their supernatural power from men's cum. What happens when we douse her in it, though? The white liquid trailed down the surface of Gloria's body, seeping into her through her mouth, nose, eyes, and other membranes. It wasn't just human cum, it was also mixed with maggot cells, boasting powerful regenerative properties. At the same time, Gloria's body began its slow regeneration. The flesh, bones, and organs beneath her skin were returning to normal and filling her up like a balloon. Everyone, this is the humble creature known as a witch. Please bear witness to their atrocious revival for yourself. Drumroll played for several minutes before finally signaling the end. Unbelievable, her body has truly been restored from neck to toe. How mysterious and creepy, and how indecent. The witch Gloria has made a full recovery after ingesting male cum. Gloria's body is fully recovered as nothing has ever had ever happened to it. Even though she was a witch, it wasn't possible for her to regenerate from such a gruesome state in such a short time after taking in cum. That was thanks to doping her with maggot cells and their powerful regenerative properties. It was all part of the performance to recreate the urban legend of witches coming back to life with men's cum. So the rumors were true. I feel like I've discovered the legendary castle in the sky. It must be convenient to resurrect so quickly. All the guests were enjoying the show, their faces glowing with satisfaction at the sight before them. Although Gloria's body revived and regenerated, she couldn't speak at the moment. She let her body dangle limply from the bonds holding her in the air, all while quietly shedding tears of despair. She realized this hell wasn't over yet. She knew she wouldn't be granted the mercy of death. And now you hold. Let's continue our witch resurrection show. Guess how many times she'll die this time. Okay, we're just going fucking through it now. This is getting stupid. Okay, it's done. It's enough. Gloria's being destroyed before her very eyes. Gloria was being destroyed before her very eyes. The witch was wailing helplessly on stage as her bones and flesh were crushed. It was hard for Allison to believe that was the same strong, dazzling Gloria that she knew. It hadn't been that long since they parted. She had changed so much it was only natural to think she was a different person. Allison gulped as she watched the proceedings, waiting and praying for the moment when Gloria ripped her chains away and unleashed her anger. Master. However, all that she witnessed was a gruesome sight of Gloria's destruction. The last thing she heard from her were her pitiful screams begging for mercy. With all that before, Allison was forced to come to a realization. Gloria was no longer the same woman she knew. She'd been robbed of her anger, and pride had been trampled upon. The ferocious witch Gloria that she knew no longer existed. Allison was forced to bear witness to that reality. The aspirations she once held were shattered and trampled into nothingness, just like Gloria. What passed through her tiny heart was only disappointment at Gloria's degradation. Those men, or not. There's nothing silent within her tiny body, shaking with raging blood. Her boiling brain searched for an answer, direction for her raging blood. Who had ruined Gloria? Her admiration. Those men, they did this to Master. They made my precious Master. That was the first time Allison truly felt rage. That mental fire was more violent than bravery, more powerful than justice, and hot enough to move a person to action on its own. That flame had now hit the fuel of her feelings towards Gloria. As it burned, it called forth an explosion that would destroy anything here. They did this! Oh shit. Hatred and malice gave Allison cause to fight. She felt pain from the scream rushing out of her throat, but she also experienced the perverse pleasure of unleashing herself at that pain. Every corner of her body was swirling with an impulse ready to burst. She brandished her brutal edge, kicking off the ground and charging in, heading toward the first adversary she had ever chosen of her own free will. Whoa, what's that witch doing? There were about 10 relatively trained men dispatched from the witch hunters to serve as bouncers for the hall. All of them were armed, but they were mostly stationed to manage any trouble that broke out within the hall, so they didn't have anything more powerful than out-of-place automatic rifles. Even if they did possess stronger firearms, they wouldn't have been any use against a witch that wasn't weakened. What are the witches... Where are the witches on our side? Call our witches! The guests panicked and tried to flee from the sudden indiscriminate massacre breaking out. That only brought about further confusion, plunging the hall into a chaos of devastated battlefield. One of the black-suited men was constantly trying to radio their emergency to others outside, but a man who didn't look like he belonged there, Ego, stood in his way. You'll do for my share. The dark muzzle of a Glock 17 was shoved into the man's mouth as he gasped. This vile exhibition has pissed me off too! With that bellow, he pulled the trigger, releasing an explosion. 2 9mm parabellum bullets fired into the black-suited man's face, and he bounced like a spring before crumbling down. Still, she's made quite a display over there, huh? Ego finally heaved a sigh as he looked over the corpses strewn across the hall. Allison's lightning-fast massacre was as merciless as a war god's. There wasn't a single human survivor to be found in the crowd. Allison had just freed Gloria and was on the verge of death. The damage to her body would eventually heal since she was an immortal witch, but her mind was already one step away from scrap. Master! The light in Gloria's eyes was already gone as she held her... up. Without exception, a witch's self-awareness would vanish in time after giving birth to their replacement. As their own mind faded, their next generation selves ceased to be human dolls and gained their own awareness. Witches replaced themselves without anyone knowing, but there were still some things that spilled out and didn't carry over. Allison, I'm sorry. I disgraced myself before you. Allison felt joy as Gloria called out her name, but Gloria sadly shook her head when she realized that. I'm still able to remember you for now, but I'll soon forget. I can tell. Yes, what spilled out and didn't carry over with the memories of each witch, who they met, what they experienced, all of those memories were limited to each individual body, so they're kind of like robots in a way. When you destroy them, even if you make a new one, it won't have the same memories in the data. To use an electronics analogy, oh wow, okay. The terminal's unique records, their memories, were data, and that was lost when you replaced their OS, their individual character. There's also no means of saving that data either. That will be my death, Allison. All that remains is an empty lump of flesh. It won't be me anymore. Allison swallowed a bit at the weight of truth behind her words. Intuitively, she understood it all. She knew what witches like her and Gloria were. If you meet another witch with the same face as mine in the future, know that she won't be the Gloria you know. Just remember that for me. Your Gloria is only me, the one here right now. Yeah, you'll always be my master. Thank you for shedding tears for me, Allison. It was hard to tell, but Gloria gave her a smile. Still, even knowing how kind you are, there's one thing I must ask of you. Her eyes turned downwards towards the shoulder was glinting in Allison's hands. Take me out with those. I want to bid you goodbye to Gloria you know, before my memories of you are all gone from my mind. That's not something you can do? Gloria's expression was truly kind as she watched Allison cry. No, I can. Allison wiped her tears and nodded. Right, you've grown a lot stronger than me, Allison. Gloria gave her a smile and closed her weary eyes. Allison gently kissed her cheek. Rest well, master. She then beheaded Gloria in a single blow. Her blade achieved its task with such force and speed that it dealt no pain. The cervical vertebrae was severed in an instant, leaving the head rolling on the floor and spreading a copious pool of blood at her feet. While that faint, wet sound colored the silence... What? The sound of footsteps approaching the site of the massacre suddenly rang out. When Ego turned around, his mouth fell open for a brief moment, dropping a cigarette on the ground. The approaching visitor was none other than Gloria, the same witch that Allison just beheaded. Hey, everyone here is dead already. What's going on? Allison turned around in her voice. Her amethyst eyes reflected Gloria-like mechanical lenses. Hey, Pipsqueak over there, did you kill them? That one's missing its head. As she asked Allison, she pointed at the headless corpse, the corpse that looked just like her. Her mannerisms were just as innocent and wild as Gloria's. Allison just stared back at her without answering. Gloria only cocked her head, confused as to what her gaze could mean. Did you know me? Have we met before? I don't know you. The cold words she uttered reached Gloria's ears after the swing of her swords. I don't know anything about you. The confused look was still on Gloria's face as she held... as her head left her shoulders and fell. Fresh blood erupting like a fountain rained down on them as their headless torso fell with a loud clatter. One witch was now freed from their cycle of life, death, and rebirth. Which means she literally stopped one witch from being reborn constantly. That's it. Allison turned back to look at Ego, who had watched it all dumbfounded. The expression on her face was a bit more mature than before. I'm sorry, mister. I won't be able to see Shogo Oni-chan anymore. I want to save the others who captured Light Master. I also need to let all the others in the city know the truth about witches. After that, I'll bring us all back here to take care of the bad guys. I see. Ego didn't know much about the hidden truth of witches unique to the city. However, he was able to understand the resolve resting in their words. If that's what you've decided to do, then there's nothing better than that. No matter what anyone else says. However, don't half-ass it. Yeah, I never want to be this sad again. Yeah, good luck, Allison. Allison suddenly grabbed Ego's hand as he reached out to stroke her small head. Then she gripped it tight. Mister, make sure you save Shogo Oni-chan. Yeah, leave that to me. After exchanging their firm handshake, the lone man and the lone witch each parted and set out on their own paths. Still reading, just give me a minute. How long had she been sensing herself watching the world through that window? The world she glimpsed through that window called a witch was a dark and dangerous. Please tell me we're on fucking 98. 97, still. Well, we're getting there. The world she glimpsed through that window was... A window called a witch was dark and dangerous, with malice opening its maw all around her, but she was never lost, because the pathway was already laid out for her. She was confident that he was sure to return to this city, meeting him for whatever reason. She knew that that would be where everything started, even though she didn't know her own name. She didn't know she was supposed to do either. That was why she became his weapon, his tool, after he abandoned everything else to fight. She was confident she could endure any suffering necessary to be with him. That lack of indecision, that was the only means of surviving in that world. It was also her confidence. That was why she instantly recognized who had opened the door and appeared before her. Even if he had changed drastically into a grotesque figure. Wow. That's Shogo. Oh no. We're gonna go fast through this. Sorry, guys. Okay, same time. It wasn't clear if the faceless monster understood, but he probably sensed it as the weakening of his prey with his predatory instincts. Sticks as wide as her thigh. Yeah, I didn't really care. It's not the way I wanted to see them go at it. Man, this is like the worst end. This is worse than the Monkey House end. The Monkey House was at least kind of a joke. Like, this ending fucking sucks. I'd rather Carol be like the, you know, the adversary that appears every couple thousand years and the people don't know war or whatever, than this. Like, this is the good ending? Really? Hold on. Was her atrocious state that of a sacrificial maiden or a crucified saint? Because next... The thing that used to be Tsunade Shogo had completely departed from its human form. Deformed muscles stood out all over its body, and countless tentacles grew densely from it. It looks like a symbiote from Spider-Man. There were no eyes or ears on its head. There was only a mouth like a giant, huge beast's maw, as if symbolizing starvation and gluttony. It was a faceless, blind, and deaf monster, an amalgam of human and mystic worm crawling in the darkness. I finally found you. The malformed mouth spoke with distorted human words. There wasn't a single shred of memories or identity of Tsunade Shogo left within its bizarre form. Despite that, one lingering image remained, with strong within its dark skull. Let me see if we're on 98 now. Yes! I held Carol's body up reverently in both its arms like she was a goddess. The monster's legs had continued on its way, resuming its pilgrimage. The two of them finally arrive at the end of their path together. The monster looked down at the woman in its arms with its eyeless head. Everything to me. Her features radiated brilliantly at the center of its world. To the monster, she was the godless mother at the holy land at the end of its journey, which is why it wished to take it within itself. The desire was different from the simple beast's lust to have her. It was something purer, like a prayer. That desire was executed quite simply by the monster. It used its huge maw, which was bigger than anyone else's, to bite into the flesh of the beautiful woman before it, devouring her innards. It ripped her muscles and tendons from her bones and slurped down her soft eyeballs like gelatin. Fragments of ears and fingers spilled away, but the monster didn't waste a escape of flesh. It even used its powerful fangs growing in rows to crush her bones and hair, swallowing those down too. The sound of it sucking down blood and chomping on flesh echoed in the quiet stillness as good tidings for Carol's funeral. To the monster, Carol's flesh was a holy communion granted by God. It couldn't believe how much there was within her small body. The never-ending flow of blood was a wine filling up its holy grail. It devoured and swallowed every part of her with love while issuing a creepy howl. The footsteps of a new pilgrim visiting that evil, blood-filled church then rang out within Slumville's top floor, where its sobbing wails echoed. What? What Igo Nobutake witnessed was a grotesque demon standing in a pool of blood. Its huge beefy frame, its ferocious fangs, and its wriggling tentacles forced those who witnessed it to feel terrifying fear and danger. At the very least, no one seeing it would judge it harmless. Igo reflexively drew his Glock and fired. He confirmed the bullet struck the monster's skin, but one after another they dropped to the ground without piercing it. Its magazine was quickly emptied and the slide shot back. Before the monster could counterattack, he acted, sensing that his life was in danger. He suddenly recalled the bullets he picked up and pulled them out of his pocket. The 9mm Parabellum bullets had a dark iron casing. They were the same caliber as his Glock, so he loaded them into the empty chamber. With his side withdrawn, the firing chamber was exposed to the ejection port. Eagle then manually loaded one of those bullets in and freed the slide stop. Then he fired, shooting one of the holy nailed bullets entrusted to him by Valentinos. Of course, he had no way of knowing those one-shot bullets were made of the Vatican secret organization. Were made by the Vatican secret organization using a holy relic. He was just blindly focused on killing his enemy, which was all the more reason he never expected the immense response delivered in that single blow. The holy nail bullet pierced through every dark art protecting the monster, sinking deep into its flesh. All of the maggot cells were eradicated instantly. What is this? Thus, the immortal monster reverted to Tsunaga Shogo, and to the very body already riddled with grave wounds that made it impossible for him to live. Igo's eyes were frozen open in shock. He was confused, finding it hard to believe what lay before his eyes, even though he watched the grotesque monster that he shot himself transform back into the man he had sought. He cast aside his gun and raced forward without thought. However, he froze. Tsunaga's nudity made it obvious how gravely wounded he was. The instant he saw that, he knew there was no hope of saving him. Igo lifted Tsunaga and held him in his arms, and he let out a groan filled with tremendous distress. Ah, thank goodness. His lips were as pale as wax as they opened, his eyes looking up at the superior he was reunited with. I had a terrifying dream. The memories of Igo were already gone from Tsunaga, but the relief of having someone there to watch over his passing brought a feeble smile to his lips. I dreamt that I had killed someone precious to me with my own hands and ate them. The shade of death was rapidly spreading over Tsunaga's face. Ego's breath stopped with despair. Shogo, hey, Shogo, don't die, don't you die. I'm really glad it was a dream. With that final mutter, Tsunaga Shogo expired. His death wasn't brought about by the gunshot from Igo. It had already been set in motion by the deadly duel with Brian McHale. He had only managed to prolong his life temporarily by replacing his body with maggot cells. That was much clearer to anyone looking at the wounds carved into his body, but that still didn't offer Igo any consolation. The sole reason he had worked up the resolve to come to this place was to save that man. The strength drained from his legs, Igo sat on his knees, closing his eyes with exhaustion.
Shogo.
Shogo, you. Despite how painful his death was, Seneca's expression was peaceful. Perhaps he truly passed away, half in a dream. And once again, Shogo dies. What did that even matter, though? Seneca had fought to defeat the sinful people who had planned that incident 7 years ago, hadn't he? Which meant he was dying in vain. He only managed to use up his strength and met a violent, fruitless death partway, though, without ever reaching his true enemy. Bitterness raced through Ego's chest, threatening to rip it open, as he imagined how regretful that was. He bit down the lamentation rising in his throat and reopened his eyes once more. Then he rendered frozen with shock yet another time. He was rendered shock. Try that again. This is the end. Then he was rendered frozen shock yet another time today. This time, all he could do was sit there dumbfounded and speechless. Sunga's corpse had been there before his eyes just seconds ago. But when he looked away, it had disappeared without a trace. The journey of Tsunaga Shogo and the Witch Carol had been full of ups and downs. A single pair of eyes watched their end from the microcosm of the abyss, the evil hole in the sky above Kanto's pandemonium. Ah, what a tragedy! Her sorrowful words were imbued with heartfelt sympathy. Those theatrical words of condolence resounded clearly from her lovely lips. Two individuals drawn together by their mutual feelings, yet what a miserable and cruel destiny had... Yet what a miserable end cruel destiny had prepared for them. Ah, how sorrowful, how tragic. However, her ruby and indigo eyes shone with joy the very next moment. In them, she had found it, the ultimate curiosity that would benefit her interests. It was worth watching over them this whole time after I took interest in him. Ah, my Carol, my sister, I tip my glass to that chance that brought you to him. She was the last remaining witch, and what she sought was the despair born through suffering via her incarnations, the witches. It was normally impossible to measure the activity of a human spirit, but with her wisdom, understanding, and mastery of magic, she was able to perceive it, materialize it, use it as energy. It was a great deed that could overwrite the laws of the universe and broach the domain of God. 26 witches had gone through countless cycles of death and rebirth there in the miniature garden of Kantel's pandemonium. The value of their repeated despair was collected within her as she crucified herself there in the abyss. And now, the witch was certain that the despair brought through Carol would create the energy to finish it all. Unlike most witches who were tormented to death without understanding why, Carol had shouldered a goal and hopes like humans did. Still, the hope that she wholeheartedly held onto was crushed in the worst way possible. That was sure to convert into powerful despair, enough to finally fulfill her grand ambition of replacing Jesus. Like, alright, move out of the way, Jesus, it's my turn. Yeah, we'll see. I think she's gonna do the same thing. To hold such longing for one man, only to be eaten to death by that very same man. But rest easy, Carol. In the new world I create, there will never be a tragedy like yours. My agape will manifest a utopia filled with love. The last lone witch appeared as a rose maiden, her intoxicated pledge ringing out within the microcosm of the abyss. Carol's soul, her final offering, floated before her, manifested in flesh, for she had summoned the body of the man who devoured her, Tsunaga Shogo, to the abyss and used it to reconstruct her. Now is the time to transfer the great despair you bear unto me. The same colored light enveloped Carol's body and the Rose Maiden. As both souls began to synchronize, a hazy, soft radiance began to flicker. With every moment, that flicker flashed. What? The Rose Maiden cried out with piercing shock and anger. This is wrong! This is not despair! The last remaining witch rejected and tried to eliminate the foreign substance transferring into her, but she failed. That mysterious light began corroding her from within. What? What is this? She shouted vulgar words, screaming like a demon. For the witchy attempting to usurp God's throne, there must not be anything unaccounted for in her universe. It was the clear voice of a young girl that answered the enigma she couldn't solve with the greatest store of dark wisdom in all humanity. I'll tell you. Two pomegranate stars lit up within the universe of the abyss. Carol's closed eyes had opened and now reflected that last remaining witch's shock. This is my hope. The carol for my long-held prayers being answered. It will never be grief. The witch's eyes shook with rage. The wheels of her great work, her masterpiece, her Ars Magna had been delicately pieced together, and now this unknown impurity had slipped in without her permission. It was a blasphemy that a disciple of magic could never forgive. No, don't lie to me, you imitation. Who are you? She challenged her with fierce intensity. The witches created by the last witch were all creations. Closer to ghosts or spirits with bodies, formed from the lingering thoughts of despair left behind by girls who died and became her incarnations. None should ever possess such a human sense of self that could talk back like that. Which is why the witch instantly declared that the witch carol who floated before her was something different than the previous carol. I am the witch known as Carol, she spoke, facing her very own creator. And I am also